I don't know about you, but my heart's already been moved just being here tonight already, hearing the testimony and the offertory and the music. And it reminds me, it's always amazing to me how they don't know what I'm going to preach. I don't know what they're going to say. But God brings it all together because we're here tonight, like last night, to meet with God and let God work in our hearts. And I want you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4 again. Now just open it to Matthew 4 and keep your place, because as every night, I like to tell stories. They're true, okay? Missionaries shouldn't have to say that. But last night I told you about the Congo and all the little kids out in the middle of the jungle, 50-mile area. There are dozens of little Benitas, Lydias, and Roberts named after our kids. After I came back, I had an email from Pastor Mukelku, the African pastor, and his married daughter, Mylene, grew up with Benita and Lydia, and they pounded fufu together and played together. And our girls, growing up, they were born in Africa. They never played with dolls. They'd come home with an African baby strapped on their back, a little head flopping around. But after I came back, I had an email from Pastor Mukelku, and he said, Mylene just had a new little baby boy, and they named him Jonas Godfrey. That's cruel and unusual punishment. But anyway, they called me Pastor Jonas. And Jonas is a good Bible name there. By the way, Pastor, they speak French. Many of them Lingala, Swahili, Kidinga, and Kikongo. We've never met an African that speaks one language. Everybody there speaks three or four. But I got to tell you another story before I preach, okay? Some of you were my students, and you'll remember. Now, the only story that some of my students remember is the one about taking out the tapeworm. They remember that one, okay? But that's not my story tonight. But many of you have heard part of this story that I'm going to tell, but I have the rest of the story tonight. How many of you remember when I told about my first baptismal experience in Brother Bill? He remembers that. We were dumb. I shouldn't say this in a missions conference, but all young missionaries are dumb and green. I mean, they don't know the language, they don't know the culture, and people do things differently all over the world. But Linda and I went out. We were young, inexperienced, went out to work with Muslims in the desert. Some people came into our city where we lived, on the edge of the city, and said, "Would you come out to our village and teach us the Bible?" Would I? Started a Bible study. It was about 110 degrees, and the water was just dripping off my nose, running down my back. But people heard the Bible, people got saved. But then we had a dilemma: where are we going to baptize them? We're in the Sahara. There's no pond, there's no river, the water comes out of deep wells. And so the farmers came to me and said, "Now, it's going to rain, we're going to plant our crops." And they were right, it did rain hard a few times, and when it rained, the water ran down in a couple of low spots, and it made this beautiful little pond, and all the crops, all the flowers came up in the crops. And I told Linda, "Honey, we got to baptize, we got water." So we advertised it. All the Muslims out there came to watch. Other missionaries came out to take pictures. I'm trying to be dignified. My knees are knocking up. This is first time for me. And so we had testimonies, and then I preached, and we sang, and I waded out in this little mud hole. Well, I had to go like back to the doors back there to get deep enough to baptize. Scared the horses out. First person comes in, no problem. I baptized him. Got him down, got him up. Nope, didn't drop him. I thought, I can do this. He started out, I motioned for the next person to come, and she did. And they wore a long wraparound skirt and big flowing robe. Over that, she just took her robe and choo, pulled it right off and handed it to her neighbor. And I'm standing way out yonder. And she's coming. And I'm thinking, Dr. Robertson never told me what I'm supposed to do. Now, I've told that, a lot of you older folk here in my classes, you've heard me tell that story. Can I tell you an additional part to that? Just a few months ago, I mean just recently, now that was 42 years ago probably. Just a few months back, I got an email from a fellow missionary lady that's been doing Bible translation out there for years. I had no correspondence with her for 15, 20 years. She said, Brother Godfrey, I thought you would want to know this. She said, do you remember Sheikh Njai? Well, Sheikh Njai was that first man I ever baptized. And I told that story about the lady. It shocked me to death. But I've never said any more about that man. But this missionary lady said, Brother Godfrey, he was giving his testimony the other day in the church you started. Now, number one, think about it. You started a church 42 years ago. And she said, his son is now the pastor. We lived there. I got a picture of him. I went back through my old slides. Aren't you glad slides are over? But we went back through the old pictures, and I had a slide of this little guy, in Galibin's his name, standing holding a little chalkboard with his name written on it in his village. He was about maybe 6 years old. Now, he got saved. He's now the pastor of that church we started over 40 years ago. But she said the old man, his daddy, Sheikh, first man ever baptized in Africa, her words were these, he was waxing eloquent. He's usually real shy. But he said in the church, he said, yeah, back in the old days, when they don't call me Brother Godfrey, they call me Asan Ba. They couldn't say Godfrey. They gave him an African name. Back in the old days when Asan Ba came down here, we didn't have to have these concrete basins to baptize people in. He just took us out in the pond, plucked us down in the muck with the turtles. Now, that makes us smile, but think about it. You know what that does in the heart of a missionary? When you hear that somebody you won to Christ over 40 years ago is not only still in church, but he's still testifying. And his son is pastor, and pastor's already said it here. Oh, this is not a flash in the pan. This is God's work. And there's nothing like it in the world, whether it be out in Senegal or over in Japan or down in Brazil. It's God's work, wherever it's at. Now, back to, are you still there, Matthew 4? Sometimes people think I forget, and sometimes I do. But anyway, Matthew chapter 4, I'm going to start tonight in verse number 16. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light has sprung up. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee, John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had palsy, and he healed them. Well, I'm coming back to my thought last night. Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, context, you Bible professors and teachers and preachers, you know that context is important. And I read several verses there. Sometimes we just take a verse like, I will make you fishers of men, and that's great, but if you look at the context here, it's very important for us to see what's happening. People in that time were sitting in darkness, and they needed light. Nothing has changed, friends, except that there are a lot more people today sitting in darkness. Now, how do you describe 7.5 billion people? How do you describe all the people in Brazil, one of the biggest countries in the world? How do you describe... Unless you go and see it, there's no way. One of your friends, Sarah, we're in Japan. You probably have heard the story. Japan, they pack people in. When the trains pull into station, they have pushers who push them into the trains and then close the door. And one of our dear friends got on the train. They pushed them in. You wonder, can you sleep on a train? In Japan, you can, because you can't fall. There are people touching you, about 40 different people, it feels like, all around you. Well, our friend's got on the train, his nose started to itch, and he thought, I've got to get my handkerchief. But he couldn't move, and he twisted and did contortions, and took him about 10 minutes and finally got his handkerchief up, and it wasn't his handkerchief. Now, how do you describe 7.5 billion people? All I can say is, there are a lot of people. And it doesn't matter where you go in the United States of America. There are people everywhere. You go to Brazil, you go to Japan, you go to China, you go to Africa. And I've been, I didn't try to go to all those places, but a lot of them I've been. People are sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death, but Jesus wants to save them. And the verses we just read, he does two things. He preaches and he does good. May I say that both of those things are still good things to do? People want to hear our sermons, but they want to see our sermons as well. And then Jesus called his disciples to do the same thing. Now, can I remark that these men and women that are to become fishers of men were just plain, ordinary people. They were not, I'm sure you all realize this, but if you don't, I'm going to say it anyway. Missionaries are not super spiritual giants. We wish we were. We try to be, but the truth is we're just people. We get aggravated sometimes. In Africa, they love, everything goes slow. And if you try to make them speed up, they slow it down to watch the white man squirm. So sometimes I'm not as spiritual as I wish I were, okay? Jesus called just plain ordinary people. Did you notice that phrase in there? They brought others to him. They brought them. People who needed to come to Christ, other people brought them. No wonder Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. John chapter 1, don't turn there, but you know the story. John the Baptist had men who had been following him. They were his disciples. And one day Jesus comes by and John looks at him and says, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And a few verses later, John 1 verse 37, and they followed Jesus. And then when they followed Jesus, what did they do? Well, you know this, but it's good to hear it again. In verses 40 and 41 of John 1, Peter found his brother. Hey, that's not a bad place to start. Peter found his brother. Philip brings Nathaniel. Fishing for men is what we should do. And they started with their loved ones. Then they went to the towns of Israel. Then they went to Samaria. Then they went to the world. And somewhere not so long ago, Linda and I were in a conference, and their theme there was from door to door and shore to shore. Well, that gives a good picture of missions, because missions is not just going to other countries. Missions may be from door to door. It may be in Walmart. It may be in the gas station. And I guess our concern sometimes as missionaries is we see people getting involved in good, well-meaning activities that take them away from the very thing that ought to be gripping their hearts, following God's directions. That's what the missionary does. What does he do? It's nothing complicated. We invest our lives in helping other people know the joy that we know from trusting Christ as our Savior and following Him and growing. My sermon tonight will be very, very simple. If you would you flip over a few pages to Luke's Gospel in chapter 5? I'm not really going to read this passage, but it goes with my message tonight. And this is the story of Jesus and the fishermen. You remember how they fished all night? And they hadn't caught a thing. And Jesus said to them, let down your nets. And they let down a net, and you know the story, and they caught a great number of fishes, and I'll be referring to this as I go. But I told you this may very well be the most simple message and the most simple outline you've ever heard in your life. How many of you are like me? You like simple. Well, we folk who travel to other countries and different languages, we learn we have to keep it simple. Because if we don't keep it simple, they don't get it. English is not an easy language. If you've ever tried to interpret, I shouldn't pick on him, but one of my good friends is Dr. Tom Wallace. And he's traveled with me, and every time he goes, I said, Dr. Wallace, please don't tell jokes. And don't quote poetry. And don't tell ethnic jokes. And he can't preach and not do that. And more than once I've said to people there, he just told a joke, would y'all please laugh? And everybody laughs, and he thinks they understood his joke. But so I believe in simple. Have you ever heard a complicated message? Have you ever heard a preacher preach beyond the level of his intelligence? I heard one down in Greenville, South Carolina one time on the difference between dynamic and dualistic monarchianism. I'm as serious as I heard it. I don't have any idea what he said. I don't think he did. Well, okay. All right, now we're going to get down to business. I'm just telling you, my message tonight may very well be the simplest outline, the simplest message you've ever heard, based on what I read in Matthew chapter 4 and here in Luke chapter 5. And here is the first word of Christ, a very simple word. Jesus simply said to those people, go fish. John chapter 15 and verse 16, listen to it. Jesus said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. And then Mark 16:15 says, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Folk, our purpose, our goal, our reward ought to be fishing. It's not complicated. Jesus said, go fish. When you see people that you've won to Christ and you go back later, whether it be out on the mission field or right here, you know one of the big thrills of my heart? Every so often I get a telephone call. I almost know when it's going to come. And one man down in South Carolina every year, he calls me and say, Pastor, I just want to say thank you. You won me to the Lord. How many ever years ago that was? Well, if you don't get stirred up when that happens, if it doesn't excite you, and folks, we need a vision of the world. We need a vision of people, young people, old people. Let me just park there just a second. I personally believe that God is still concerned about young people. I believe there's some fine young people who have been saved and have a heart to serve God. You say, well, Brother Godfrey, we hear all these stories. Don't listen to all those stories you hear. Sure, young people mess up. Old people mess up too. But there are a lot of fine young people who have a heart to serve God. And more than that, you go with us out to the mission field. Here's what you're going to see. In many countries, the great majority of the population is under 20 years old. I mean, everywhere you go, there are young people. We need to see them lost and needing Christ, Jews and Greeks, tribes and city. Sometimes people get a little confused about missions, and they think that Linda and I are real missionaries because we lived in the jungle. Like it's any more spiritual to be poor. Do you think it's any more spiritual to go to the outhouse? I don't think so. Well, you're missionaries because you're rough. No, roughing it doesn't make you a missionary. Now, it is true that people here, a lot of people want to go camping. I don't ever want to camp again another day in my life. But being out, living in the desert, living in the jungle doesn't make you any more missionary than living in Rio de Janeiro or living in Paris. We need to see people lost, whether it be in their cities or out on the mission field or in the islands or in the desert or in the jungles or in our neighborhoods. I heard Mel Rudder say it. He's been in heaven for years and years, but I've heard him say it. Anything short of world evangelism is treason. Our order is simple. However you write it down, it can be simply put in this: go fish. Betty Stamm, you know that name? John and Betty Stamm, martyred in the 40s in China, beheaded young people, had a little baby girl, and God took care of her. But Betty Stamm, as a young girl, wrote, "Open my eyes, Lord, that I may see this one and that one needing thee. Hearts that are dumb, unsatisfied, lives that are dead for whom Christ died. Open my eyes in faith, I pray. Give me the strength to speak today. Someone to bring, dear Lord, to thee. Use me, O Lord. Use even me." Betty Stamm, a young girl, got it. Jesus said, "Go fish." Now, I was listening to the music there during the offering just a moment ago, and we sing "Bring Them In." I mentioned last night, I get more script out of Scripture in another language because I'm paying attention. Sometimes I like the words in some of our other songs. In that song in French, we sing "Cherchons-les," go after them, go find them, bring them in. Savons-nous le prix d'une âme? Do we know the price of a soul? Now, I like that better than the way we sing in English. Cherchons-les, go find them, go after them. Le bon berger, the good shepherd, les réclame. The good shepherd wants to save them. Now look, folks, Jesus said go fish. Now you don't catch fish all the time in the same way. Anybody like to fish? How many of you like me, you like to eat it? Boy, that's nothing better in the world than fish and seafood. But I grew up, I haven't fished much. I did down in the jungle some, but I grew up fishing. And some fish you catch with a line, with a hook. You ever fish that way? Just a worm on the end of the hook, you catch. But then sometimes you fish with a net. Did you notice that Jesus doesn't always fish in the same way either? In John chapter 3, when he's fishing for a religious leader, Nicodemus, his method was not the same at all as the next chapter with the woman at the well, when he did not use, excuse me, and I'm not saying it's bad, but he didn't use the Romans road in either case. Now, I'm not against the Romans road. Don't get, "Oh, Brother Godfrey." No, I'm for anything you can use to bring people to Christ. But I just want you to know, you don't fish for people always in the same way. You don't fish in different countries. There's certain things that you don't do there that you might get by with here. Japanese, they don't like to talk about death. Did you know that in Japan there's no fourth floor? You get in an elevator in any building in Japan, you go 1, 2, 3, 5. If you're going to give a gift there, you don't give 4 bananas, $4, 4 anything, because that character means not only 4, it means also death. And they are terrified of death, aren't they, Sarah? They don't like to confront death, but they need to. And that's why missionaries go there. And when you go to Japan, and I'm just picking one country in the world, but when you go to Japan and you're walking down the street in Japan and you're thinking 99 people plus out of every 100 you pass are lost and on their way to hell. And Jesus said, go fish. Well, that's my first point. Can you write? You don't have to write that down. You can remember it. Go fish. Here's my second point. In Luke chapter 5, those men, professional fishermen, they had tried to catch fish all night long, and they hadn't caught anything. And Jesus comes, and they recognize that Jesus is standing there. And he said, "Men, have you caught any fish? And if go fish is a simple word, this is one of the most serious, somber words that two words that Jesus ever spoke. Heard. They looked at him and they said, "Lord, no fish. Well, we don't have any fish." How in the world could expert fishermen not have fish? Well, the question for us tonight is, what about me? What about you? Am I catching fish? And if I'm not, why not? I don't know about you, but I don't want to stand before my Lord and have to say, Lord, I don't have any fish. Why wouldn't people not have fish? I mean, Jesus said to us, go fish. It's not a complicated command. There are all different ways to do it. You say, well, but God, what are you talking about? Now, you know, I understand, and you do too. Everybody gets saved in the same way, individually. There's no mass. But it is different. You go to Japan, to get one fish caught on the line, you're just, hallelujah, praise God, somebody got saved. Dr. Sis went to Japan back in the 60s, and he was starting Senrin New Town Baptist Church. It was a new town because Japanese take big bulldozers and they scrape off the top of the mountains, push the dirt out in the ocean, and make a new island. And Senrin New Town was a new town. There was no church there. People had moved out of the areas they were in before, moved out there, and Dr. Sisk and some others went out. They passed out flyers and tracts, invited everybody to come. First night, they're serious and they're excited. People are coming. And this smart aleck young university student walks in the back door and he says, I'm here tonight. I don't want to hear anything about your Christ. I don't want to hear anything about your Christianity. I'm a university student. All I want, I'm an English major. All I want is to hear you speak English. And Dr. Sis thought, young man, if you knew my Kentucky hillbilly English, you would not want to learn from me. But that young man stood at the back of the church, first service ever held, Senrin New Town Baptist Church. He came there a skeptic. He was not going to listen. He didn't want anything to do with it. But he stood back there and watched that evening as those Japanese Christians stood up here at the front, and they sang, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. And they're beaming with joy. And it rarely happens in Japan, but the first time that young man ever heard the gospel, invitations given, he's on his knees getting saved. He became, his family more or less kicked him out. He became Dr. Sis Timothy. And for many years now, he has been the pastor of the largest Baptist church in all of Japan. But folk, if you don't know the joy of being saved yourself, why do people say no fish? Let me give you some reasons. Number one, if people are not saved themselves, they're not going to catch fish. Back in 68, 69, I was a young Marine. I weighed 120 pounds when I went to Parris Island, gained 20 pounds down there. Well, I was out, went to Parris Island, Camp Lejeune, ended up in MCRD San Diego, and I worked in a church and serviceman center south of San Diego. One day I was on the bus going down, they had on my uniform. This other Marine got on the bus, and we're talking, and he was telling me how he just got back from Las Vegas, and he had been there, and he had been gambling, and he didn't know who I was. At that point, he didn't know I was a Christian. He didn't know where I was going. He was telling me all this stuff that he just came back from Las Vegas and been doing. Well, when the bus pulled up to the stop where I was going to get off to go to the church, to my surprise, he got off too. And he followed me up that path to that church in that serviceman center. And the people came out and, oh, Brother John, I could tell you his name, but I won't other than that. Brother John, it's so good to see you. You haven't been here. Do you think that guy's going to catch fish? Now, I'll tell you the truth. I don't think he was a fish himself. If you're not a believer, if you're not convinced of the truth of who Christ is, I talked about last night and what he did, then you're not going to win people to Christ. Let me tell you another reason why a lot of people don't win people. They don't fish. They're totally ignorant about the real conditions in the world. I don't know how we missionaries can say it, Brother Frank, any different than the way we do it, but when you go with us, it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. Just a few days ago, I was in New Guinea. There are a lot of Christians there. Those missionaries who went there in the 50 years ago and before that, they sacrificed. They were robbed and beaten and mistreated, and It was not an easy life in Irinjaya and Papua New Guinea, and they won a lot of people. But when you go there today, one thing is sure, there's still a lot of people there who need the gospel. You go to Philippines, easy to win people to the Lord in Philippines, but there are millions of Filipinos who still need the gospel. When we're ignorant, and I hate to say this, but so many people are willingly ignorant of it. They don't want to know, because that might disturb their warped view. So many people say, Brother Godfrey, why did you go to Africa? Those people have their own religion, and they think Africans sit around under the banana tree and eat bananas and coconut milk. That's the way they think. They don't have any worries. They're full of life, and they're always, folks, just go with me one time. And you'll find they're not full of joy. There's an emptiness that is in their life that you can't explain except they need Christ. I'll tell you something else that'll make us say no fish. Sin. I know it's missions conference, but that's why we're here. Folks, if we're tied to some sin, our Savior said go fish, but if we're tied to something in our lives that may be, I heard the story of these two drunk men. They had been drinking. They went down to their boat that evening, and they got in it, and they rowed, and they rowed, and they rowed, and they rowed, and they were wondering why they weren't getting to the other side. And finally, the sun came up, and they realized the canoe was still moored to the dock. Some of y'all get that later. If we're tied to anything, I'm trying my best to be nice, okay? I believe one of the biggest hindrances we have in our country and in our churches is that we're so tied to materialism. I'm sorry, I hate to say that. When we missionaries come home, we have to watch. I know I'm sharing some things. I'm an old guy. I can get by with it. When we come back from the mission field sometimes, we look around at all the stuff. And a missionary's out there trying to raise a little money to go to the field. And he hears people say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't even say this. I apologize in advance. But they hear people say, well, I couldn't give any more money. I'm giving all I can give. And he's staying with them, and they got 3 bass boats and 5 cars and 10. I know I'm exaggerating. I'm sorry. But, folk, it is the truth. And we can all do that. You know, one of the biggest hindrances for young people to go, Brother Bill, is mom and daddy. I don't want my kids to go to mission field. I want my kids to live across the street. I want my kids to have you ever heard this? I want my children to have something to fall back on. Go to Bible college? Why? What would happen if what if that doesn't work? That's the wrong question. That's the wrong question. The question is Jesus Christ who he claims to be? And he is. And that may be our biggest hindrance. That may be the reason why so many of us have to say, Lord, no fish, because we're so preoccupied with ourselves that we come to the Lord and we say, Lord, I'm sorry, I don't have any fish today. I don't want to be that way. I don't want to stand before my Savior and say, Lord, I quit fishing a long time ago. I don't have any today. Let me give you my life. I told you this will be simple. Here's my last point this evening. They said, Lord, I don't have any fish. And Jesus said, would you let down your nets on the other side? Here's what I believe Jesus said, very sobering words. I believe Jesus looked at them and said, Oh, fish. If I could stand here tonight for a moment and represent all these people that I preach to all over the world, over 40 countries, I don't know why God's let me do that. But if I could stand here tonight, Could I just represent for a moment those people down in Brazil and those folk over in Japan and scattered around the world? What would they say to us if they could stand here tonight? I wonder if they would say something like this: "Why didn't you tell us sooner?" The words came sad and low. "O ye who knew the gospel truth, why didn't you let us know? The Savior died for those who sin. He died to save from woe, but we never heard the story. Why didn't you let us know? You've known the gospel message. You've known the Savior's love. Your dear ones passed from Christian homes to that blessed land above. Why didn't you let our fathers die and into silence go with no thought of Christ to comfort? Why didn't you let us know? We appeal to you, O Christians, in lands beyond the sea. Why didn't you tell us sooner? Christ died to set men free. 2,000 years have passed since disciples were told to go to the uttermost part of the earth and preach. But you didn't let us know. We heard a verse earlier. You remember that verse, John 4:35? Say not ye, there yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already in the harvest. Simple message tonight. Sobering words. The world is dying and going to hell. Now, every one of us probably in this church tonight gives doctrinal credence to that statement. But do we really believe people are going to hell? Blind man standing on the railroad track, train's coming. You're standing there watching. What are you going to do? I think I know the answer. I think even the young people here tonight, if you saw that man standing there, you're going to run. You're going to knock him off the tracks. You're going to jump up and down and yell. You're not going to let him stand there in that train, kill him. You see a car coming down the street and you know the bridge down the way is washed out. What are you going to do? Stand there, oh my. Are you going to jump up and down and scream and say, please stop. Forget our Baptist dignity. But here's what we need tonight. We need broken hearts. I mean, we need to know what's going on around the world, but if it doesn't affect us, why do these older men, I'll just be nice, I'll just leave it there. Why are they still going at it? Why are they still preaching the gospel? They could sit home, maybe they couldn't, and retire and take it easy, but you know why they don't? Because they really do believe people are dying and going to hell. Why do you have a missions conference at Maranatha Baptist Church? Because we all know the truth, and Jesus is the Savior, and people are sitting in darkness in the shadow of death, and they need somebody to go fish. And Jesus said to us, "O fish, Christ is coming soon." How many of you ever get up in the morning and you wonder, am I in the same country I was born in? Have you ever seen so many things going on around us on every hand? I mean, just today I read somewhere that there are more earthquakes, small earthquakes going on around Yellowstone than in years and years. Now, I'm not making any predictions or whatever. I'm just saying, when you hear storms on this hand and earthquakes on that hand and people being killed on the other hand, well, we better wake up. Jesus said to us, "Oh, fish." And dear Lord, I pray tonight you'd help us to do that. May we not be just mediocre, pew-sitting Christians. God, help us to fish. Lord, I pray that you'd start in my heart. I was moved tonight just sitting here in the testimony about Brazil and the millions of people there and the cities on every hand where there's no good Bible preaching church. And Lord, that can be set up in many places all around the world. And I just pray that this missions conference would be a time when all of us would examine our hearts, examine our minds, and Lord, would we say, Lord, help me to fish. Help me to tell people the gospel message that can save their soul and transform their lives. And Lord, I pray that you'd work in every heart tonight here in Jesus' name. Would you stand, please? Stand, please, and take your hymn book, and we're going to sing page 668.